This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Runner goes, swing and a miss, struck him out on a slider. And that retires the side, probably ends the day for Jacob DeGrom with five scoreless innings and six strikeouts.
DeGrom, check. Adolis, check. Wyatt, check. Leiter, check. Jonah, check. Chris Martin, he wasn't on the watch list to start the season, but he has us feeling better about the Rangers' bullpen. Final hour, fist pump time on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. It's the return of the morning show all together again. Aiden's getting it in the back here on DFW Sports Station. 3-1 for your Texas Rangers after dropping the opener against the Massholes. And Jacob DeGrom, 5 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 6 strikeouts, 2 walks on 73 pitches, and that leads us into Diamond Cavs.
Yeah, I mean, look, this was as good of a weekend that also had some bad to it that you could ask for. The bad, obviously, is the Josh Jung going on the injured list.
You know, when you wrote that yesterday, I thought it was a little bit much. I thought it was a little dramatic with the best and the worst weekend you could ever hope for. I'm not throwing the Josh Jung into the worst news, because to me it's like...
But you expected it already?
Yeah.
I didn't expect it 48 hours into the season.
It wasn't Seager.
Didn't it happen 48 hours into the season last year?
Yeah, it did. And I wasn't expecting 2 years in a row. I was down about it.
Was Josh Jung the launching point for the injury-prone fight that we had last year?
No, that was...
You and Hagelin?
That was Dak.
I think Josh was thrown in, maybe not the launching point. But it's like, all right, is Josh Jung injury prone?
Well, yeah, he might be. Like, yeah, if you're constantly getting hit by a pitch in the hand, like I don't know, like that's not necessarily injury prone, but it's a problem.
What's the reverse of a silver lining? Like where it's mostly bad, but you found some good. That's kind of the Rangers this weekend. Mostly good, but there's some bad wrapped around it a little bit.
And that's the Josh Jung injury. And I'm just, you know, he's a major part of this team. He really is. Like he is. Yeah, when he's healthy.
He should be. I'm just removing him mentally right now. And I did before the season started.
Because look, you get a great outing from Jack Leiter in his first start of the year. He was not supposed to be in that spot to start the year anyway. You know, when they got to spring training, like they had other guys they were going to have in the rotation. You know, they're not going to push these guys that deep into games early on. So 5 innings, maybe 6. It's more about the total pitches. And Leiter looked really, really solid. Rangers pitchers held the Red Sox to a 146 average at runners in scoring position.
Woo!
It's fantastic. Mm. It's fantastic. Malley on Saturday, not the best. Not the best that you would hope for. Looked like he was scared to throw strikes. He wasn't getting like battered around. He was just mid, right? He was just very, very mid.
Did it look like he was scared to throw strikes, or he didn't know how to throw strikes?
Well, that's a fine line. That's a fine line on which one it is. But Adolis, a 1.467 OPS, no strikeouts. That's big. He's got a 30% strikeout rate. I saw this on Rangers Savant's Instagram page. Higgy and Heim, both top 5% in exit velo, barrel percentage, and expected slugging percentage. Such a small sample, but you know those are good numbers. And then Luke Jackson already leads the major leagues in saves, Bobby.
Good for him.
And has half the amount of saves that LeClerc and Chapman had for the Rangers in 2003. They each had 4 saves for the Rangers in 03.
Luke Jackson also leads the league in losses right now. He's tied. Well,
that's fair.
Does
that's
he?
Fair.
He does, yeah.
One. The one thing I want to keep an eye on this year is Marcus Semien and where he lands on this. I mentioned hard hit percentage and barrel percentage and where he lands on that as the year goes on. That was a problem for him last year. He was 198th in baseball in hard hit percentage. That's a good barometer of where you are as a hitter. If you're not hitting the ball hard, it's very difficult to have a high batting average, high slugging percentage. You know, so weakly hit balls are ground outs and they're lazy fly balls. You get those hard hit balls over 95 miles an hour. I mean, look at the numbers.
Yeah.
They generally turn into hits. It's just too soon on these numbers. You know, there's a good chance that you've played three games, four games, and you still haven't seen your pitch. Right, there's a good chance you haven't seen your pitch yet. So, look, they cannot be great, though, I don't think, if Semien isn't able to be the leadoff hitter that they paid for him to be.
Yeah, look, I mean, you mentioned the exit velocity on, you know, Higgy and Heim, and it's a small sample size, but that is why the exit velocity matters so much, is because, you know, Baseball America talked about this recently, or Fangraphs did. Talked about that Wyatt Langford's projections are so positive moving forward because players who make contact with the ball and hit it as hard as frequently as Langford do over time are good hitters. Like, it's just, it's universal. If you make contact as frequently as he does, you hit the ball as hard as he does, it's a good indicator that they're going to be successful. And so, yeah, as long as the catchers are keeping that up, and then the reverse of that too with the pitching, like, you don't want them giving up a lot of hard contact.
Hard hit ball, so 95 miles an hour or higher, have a batting average of 524.
Damn.
Like, that's how important it is to hit a ball. 30% of balls hit at 104 miles an hour are for extra base hits, and that percentage climbs to 72% at 119. Well, duh, 119 is like 119 mile an hour hit. That's going to be near the league leaders in like a home run exit velo. So it makes sense. You want to hit the ball hard, and just that's something to monitor with Semien and the barrel percentage. As the year goes on,
just change up the barrel.
There you go.
Here we go.
All right, and we'll get to that in a second. But like we talked about earlier, they were the first team ever to strike out a single player 10 times in the first three games of the season. And that's what they did to Rafael Devers. He K'd 10 times the first three games.
It's pretty bad. That is, but then see, Luke Jackson walked him and he undid all that in the ninth inning yesterday. That just reversed everything. No, but they were.
I couldn't believe like Gallo didn't already hold that record.
You would think, right? Well, he's a pitcher now. He might strike out 10 guys.
That's right.
In three games.
It wasn't even 10, though. It was 12. He struck out 12 times in this series. Devers did.
10 of the first three games is the major league record.
Good.
12 great. In the series.
Give me the season high total for strikeouts in a year for Devers.
Oh, 196.
140.
147 last year. It was pretty close.
Peyton. He is
147 last year, then 126, 114, 143, 119, 121.
He's what, 115th of the way there already?
He's a pretty, 278 he's career hitter,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good hitter. Yeah. He's a solid hitter. Maybe playing DH because he used to play third, and maybe playing DH has screwed
Man,
him
that
up
would,
a little
that,
bit.
That would screw me up.
Yeah, you're not in the game. You don't feel like you're in the game.
Yeah, I would over. I mean, I'm an overthinker anyway.
Absolutely,
I would overthink the crap out of
Didn't
everything.
Didn't we think that was a Langford thing early on last year too, when he was struggling? Yeah. It was because he wasn't in the field and he was having to do DH so much.
Yeah, and even if you are in the field, like they say, if you move around positions, like it's you know you're playing right one day and then left, then you move to first. Like even that can mess with you because you know your mind is
hopefully it does for Altuve and left.
Yeah, hopefully it does. You know, Luke Jackson, Bobby had brought him up, leads the league in losses and saves. You, though, are ready to move on already.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm ready for Chris Martin to close. Luke, I don't understand.
Jared was basically mocking you this morning when you asked him about that.
Well, get back to down on how many ever inches you're down. And Jared, that's what you need to worry about.
Like, on the burrito.
Yeah, the burrito. Yes. On the burrito. I'm just quoting him.
I'm going to see how many inches I can take down.
Boy, and he was quick to brag about how many more it could have been had he just had time.
By the way, Tolo Trey is cursing you right now, justifiably.
Mm-hmm.
Screw you, Bobby. Pitcher in Pittsburgh and Washington, have two losses.
No. So,
apologize.
Pittsburgh and Washington are not the American League, Trey. I said lead the league. I did not say lead the major leagues. So you apologize. Just like Evaldi leads the league, leads the AL in strikeouts, but he does not lead the majors.
That's interesting because I don't know. When you say lead the league, do you mean the whole league or just
he meant the American League? He meant the individual league.
That's an out. You give yourself an out there.
I need a split.
I don't hate it. A technicality guy, I don't hate it.
It's not a technicality. It's just the reality of it. But, yes, I'm ready to move on from Luke Jackson. I don't know why we have a career 4-5 ERA guy as like, oh, yeah, that's our closer. Like, I want an answer. I'm glad Jared's going to run it down. I want an answer. So why isn't Chris Martin capable of doing this? He's looked pretty good during this whole run, and he's been one of the better setup guys recently.
You mentioned changing the bats.
And by the way, real quick, last Ranger note, and I had that extra shot of adrenaline yesterday knowing it was the Grom day. I got it today as well for Kumar. I know that there was some spring training worries and struggles. Uh-huh. Bobby mentioned those a lot. But today, the start of the G-Bag Nation break, as they don't have to work but for 2 hours or 3 hours. 5 o'clock pregame, and then the Rangers against the Reds. Reds have started off 1-2, but it'll be Rocker on the mound.
Rocker on the mound. Okay, so here we go. This is kind of taking over the sport.
Yes.
And this was announced basically, I think it was on Saturday. So the Yankees hit 9 home runs on Saturday. They scored 20. And during the game, their TV broadcast brings up that they have these different bats. They're shaped a little bit different. They call them torpedo bats. I think that's a terrible name. They look more like a bowling pin.
Aiden, see if you can get one on the fan cam. We should throw up a torpedo bat on the camera.
So it's just... Where the label is of the bat, right? It's you know, that's it's a little bit below the barrel.
Below the barrel. Oh.
It's a little wider now. And the top of the barrel is more narrow. So like a bowling pin. And the idea was they have this guy from MIT on the payroll, and he said a couple of players of your team are hitting the ball off the trademark. And they're getting jammed. They're breaking bats. They're not hitting the ball as hard. So why don't you just move the weight and the thickness and the hardness of the barrel to that spot? And they did. And they have hit the most home runs in the first 3 games in the history of the sport.
Wow.
And with 15. So baseball was asked, is this legal? And apparently they used these like the last week of spring training. And baseball signed off on this. And now a couple of other players around the sport, I saw somebody with the Twins using one and then one other team. They're starting to use these more, especially if you're a type of guy who gets a majority of their contact not on the barrel. The problem is that what happens when the pitchers just start pitching you outside?
Yeah.
And now you're going to have the same thing, right? You're just going to have a weaker part of the barrel.
It's going to make for some weird, like, nubbers down the third baseline when it goes off that weird, like, slope down end.
By the way, 3+ hours into the show, it seems like all of us are fine with this.
Yeah.
No one has a problem. We're not crying because the big sports topic today is should the torpedo be banned? Should it be blackballed? And we all seem to be fine with it because it's really the rule is the thickest part of the barrel.
Right. The thickest part of the barrel can't be more than like 2.61 inches in diameter.
Yeah.
And
it's got to be one solid piece of wood.
Right.
Can't be longer than 42 inches.
Yeah. We've had very minimal modifications to the bat. In history, it's the handle has changed a little bit. You know, sometimes you have the knob of the bat, or you'll have a bottleneck, or you'll have the axe type handle.
Yeah,
we've seen guys shave down the barrel, like the handle as well. You're not really supposed to do that, but we've seen them do that. And then we've also seen a change in the type of wood. You know, they used to use ash wood. Now, about 20 years ago, they used birch, maple. Maple is the one that shatters like crazy, but it's a little bit harder. So we've seen very small modifications. I've never seen a modification to the barrel size.
Yeah.
And then we've also seen guys cut that little hole up at the top.
Yeah, Sammy Sosa did that.
Right.
And put cork
in
there.
Well, yeah, the cork. But, you know, sometimes people cut the hole at the top, take a little bit of the weight off.
Brian on the fan text, what's the difference between those and lengthening golf clubs to your swing or bending a hockey stick blade? Nothing.
They have rules in hockey. I'm pretty sure that you can't have the curve of the stick might have to be a certain, I assume it does, a certain degree or whatever. There are modifications that you probably make to it, but
look, this is great for the sport. It's a great talking point. It's a blessing for them that it happened to the Yankees, because it's going to magnify times 30 versus being in Milwaukee. Their run differential is plus 22. I just want to see what happens if someone lives outside on Chisholm.
People were talking about last year was like, oh my gosh, these are like dead ball era numbers for offense. Like the league, sure, you can hit the ball more. Okay, cool, do it. Like the league isn't going to care.
Yeah, they scored 20 and the Yankees radio broadcast took a shot at the Seattle Mariners. The Yankees' new play-by-play guy is Dave Sims. He was with the Mariners for like 30 years. And Susan Wallman, out of nowhere, just completely throwing one across the bow.
Look at this by Jazz. Deep to right center field. That's out of here. Another hey now for the Yankees. They're killing Milwaukee. It's 13-3.
You're not going to know what to do with this. Your old team didn't score 13 runs in a month.
Don't rub it in. Be nice.
Welcome to the New York Yankees, Dave Sims.
Like it. Well done, Susan.
The shot.
Well done, Susan.
Poor Seattle.
Diamond Cavs with RJ Choppy on your home for Rangers baseball. It's happening again today, 5 o'clock pregame. First pitch at 5:40 here on 105.3 The Fan. Are Texas A&M and Oklahoma about to lose their head coaches? We got a college basketball kegger with the Final Four set. How's your bracket looking? And who is in trouble on the morning show next?
And it's back to Sean and RJ right here on 105.3 The Fan, segment here brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And also brought to you by the personal injury lawyers, Franco and Frankel. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call Frankel first. 214-817-333-3333. With Franco and Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franco and Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas.
H-Town, ready to invade the Alamo City. The Houston Cougars, for the seventh time in school history, are headed to the Final Four, a 69-50 win over the Tennessee Volunteers.
Of course you had to play that.
I told him to play any clip he wanted to.
Of course.
Well, it's a good call.
Any from Westwood One, and I wasn't going to be rude about it because I know how much RJ cares, but I was really rooting for Houston. When Tennessee started to come back, I was like, oh no, because Bobby said if the armpit won, I was safe from losing the morning show bet, and me and Bobby are out of the woods.
We're clear. And if Tennessee would have won, you would have been safe. You would have not. You couldn't have finished last if Tennessee won.
Listen, that's my first problem is putting any faith in this team, in any sport except for baseball. We're the defending champs. They always let me down, though. They always find a way.
In case you did not know, the loser has to solo host for 30 minutes back to the old 5:30 to 6 a.m. days. What is your level of worry? Yesterday you were texting, you were a little bit worried about it. Are you legitimately worried if you have to do it?
Oh, dude, I'm bringing an old pocket schedule out, and I'm just going to go, oh, you know, the Mavericks play here, and then the next game after that, they will have a 7:30 p.m. game, and then they will play a noon game on a Sunday.
Because Mavericks looking for some revenge tonight.
Because I think a lot of people would be surprised to hear that any of us would worry about that. Be professional broadcasters.
Yeah. Gift of the gab. I have nothing to say in general. Let alone to have to talk to myself.
Yeah.
Well, I make sarcastic. My whole point is making sarcastic remarks off what other people say. And what am I going to do? Make that to myself?
I can talk for 20 minutes, more than that. But I can talk for 20 minutes. My issue is just I would be in my head the whole time going like, this sounds dumb.
Yeah.
I'm just filling space and trying to talk for 20 minutes. And this is brutal and no one wants to hear this. And if you would have picked Houston to beat Tennessee, you would have guaranteed you weren't, because then you and Sean would have had the same picks the rest of the way, and he was already behind you. You would have guaranteed you wouldn't have finished last, but you went with your heart, and it hurt you.
It did. It hurt. It ruined me.
Yeah.
Ruined. So.
And Peyton, you think you can fill two segments by yourself, no one else in here?
Well, I have a question. Can I do life hacks one segment? that would help, but if you say no, then.
You got to cancel
last time. It's before six, though. It's before six. That counts, right? Safe harbor.
Or you know, that's a good question. That's a good question of whether you can do like that type of stuff. We'll debate it. We'll think.
I just want Payne to have to deliver basically a monologue, like some Paul Harvey like radio address, like "Hello, listeners."
Because we're gonna be listening while we're driving in, especially me and Bobby, because we are not losers officially.
Yep.
And we're gonna replay it.
Yeah.
We're gonna replay it at 8 or 9, the best and the worst.
Yeah.
So it can't just get buried from 5:30 to 6.
Yeah, it'll be. I anticipate that no matter who does it, I think there will definitely be more content from Peyton. I think that Choppy will get in his own head though and provide some content because he'll stress himself a little.
Sean Welsh with the Bogey Bros, like, hey, I'll come on be your guest. I'm like, I don't know, we can't have guests.
No guests.
You ain't getting free airtime, Bogey Bros.
Now listen, I could bring my own guest out.
Careful, where are you going with this?
I could just do some impressions the whole time.
Okay,
that's probably what I want to do.
They got to be live.
Yeah, that's true.
Got to be live impressions.
You did 20 minutes of impressions. I'd love that content.
Nine different characters.
I might try to do that. Yeah, yes. I could try to do something like that.
I decided to sit in for my good friend RJ. Do the weave. 30 minute weave. College basketball kegger here on the Fan.
All right, so in Houston, like Peyton said in the clip, they beat Tennessee 69-50. Auburn 70-64 over Michigan State. On Saturday, Duke 85-65 over Alabama. Florida 84-79 over Texas Tech. We had mentioned Walter Clayton earlier, and I did not know this about him. He was a better high school football prospect than basketball.
Oh.
He had offers out of high school to play football at Florida, Notre Dame, Nebraska, Tennessee, and West Virginia. In basketball, he only had James Madison, Stetson, Florida A&M, East Carolina, Charleston, and Iona. And he went to Iona for Patino, and then he transfers to Florida.
Stetson.
So how about that, right? A little bit, he bet on himself in a completely different sport.
Do you know the Stetson mascot?
The Hatters, right?
The Hatters. Yeah. How great is that? The Stetson Hatters.
Isn't that where, didn't DeGrom go there?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he did. Pretty sure he did. Anyway, you mentioned the tease. Is Oklahoma and Texas A&M about to lose their head coach?
And by the way, real quick, early spreads. I want to see if you can guess them. Do you already know what they are?
I do not.
Houston, Duke. Can guess.
Duke by 5.5.
4.5, Duke.
4.5. Bobby Bell. Well done.
I saw it. No, I didn't.
Other game.
Auburn, 3.5.
Florida, 2.5.
Florida -3.
Florida -3.
Florida -3. That's from Bet Online.
Yeah, well, Peyton, this is why I'm already safe from the bracket, and you're sitting here in peril, so how about you just learn?
I can still win the bracket, Bobby. I still have a chance to win the bracket.
So, Kevin Willard is leaving Maryland for Villanova. This took over a lot of the college basketball talk over the weekend. And there are two names that are already being thrown out there. And
he's complaining about NIL money.
So he's complaining about NIL money. He got on a
rant. Not enough old baby being thrown around. Right.
So he went on a rant a week or so ago about, you know, he outed his AD. AD there, he outed him. He goes, he's taking the SMU job. And he did. He's taking the SMU to be to replace Rick Hart as the AD at SMU. And so the AD hadn't even announced that yet. He outed him. And then he said, I'm kind of mad. I'm not able to run the program the way I want to run my program. I wanted to spend an extra night in New York City during one of the games with my team as a bonding. And the school said, no, can't afford it. Not going to do it.
Run by Odyssey.
So the worst kept secret is that he is going to Villanova. That's the worst kept secret in the sport. And we've already seen like Will Wade, and Will Wade played it right. He's like, yeah, I'm leaving. He told his players. His player went to bat for McNeese. They beat Clemson, and they lose in the next round, and they lost to Purdue. But,
well, someone pointed out later on that conversation, they're like, the players weren't devastated because he's going to take a lot of them
with
him.
He's taking them with him. And you know what?
There you go.
I'd be willing to bet Derek Queen, if he doesn't go to the NBA, is going to Villanova. You know, I'd be willing to bet that some of the Crab Five is going to go to Villanova. Well, here's Jay Billis yesterday morning, kind of, and I recorded this on my phone off the TV, so the audio may stink, but, you know, Jay's not, he understands it, but he's like, dude, we got to change something here.
It's more of the same. What you heard from Kevin Willard from the podium in his press conferences was, I haven't talked to my agent. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. He said the exact same thing when he was at Seton Hall and then went to Maryland. The exact same thing. This is the same playbook. And I hate to break this to coaches, but your agent is your representative. So whatever your agent is doing, you are doing. That's the way agency works. But to Seth's point, I don't have a problem with Kevin Willard making this move. That's great. Any coach should look to better himself or herself based upon the circumstances and based upon business. These are business decisions. But one thing you don't hear from the NCAA literati, from the administrators, from Charlie Baker, you don't hear tampering. Nobody's saying there was tampering here. This is a coach under contract that a member institution tampered with without permission from the University of Maryland. You don't hear about loyalty. Where was Kevin Willard's loyalty here? He made a decision to go to Maryland and signed a long-term contract. Where's the commitment that we hear on the part of players? And what about going through adversity? Like, he didn't want to go through adversity. The adversity of, oh, he couldn't stay in New York for an extra day. Like, come on, man. We say all this stuff about players, but we don't apply that to coaches.
Well, you should record more audio off your TV. That sounded great. Yeah, it did.
Thank you. The iPhone. Right. It has to be, right, Bobby?
It's good, yeah.
So now the talk is who's going to go to Maryland, and there are two coaches that are local that are names have been floated out there. Porter Moser at Oklahoma and Buzz Williams at A&M. Now, neither have a connection to Maryland. They're not from Maryland. Buzz Williams is from by the Red River. Porter Moser's from the Midwest, from Chicago area. But it's all about money. It's all about NIL.
Is Billis right?
Yes.
I agree.
Like, yeah, I have no problem with coaches wanting to leave, you know, and I like that the NCAA now does. Once the coach leaves, everyone's gone. Your letter of intent doesn't exist anymore. You can go wherever you want. That's exactly how it should be.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with the players leaving. We got to figure something out. Like, they got to start making the players employees. Like, and say, hey, look, here's a 3-year contract. And they got to have to, they're going to have to start keeping these coaches a little bit more accountable for leaving.
Because there's been NIL poaching, you said, as this is happening, as they're playing.
Yeah. The transfer portal opened a week ago today. Michigan played this weekend. Michigan had a player that entered the portal last week.
Wow.
It was Pippen's kid, Scottie Pippen's kid. Like, you have coaches who are getting ready for this weekend's game who during the week had to figure out what their roster was going to be for next year and had to go and recruit players, including the players on their own team. It's a very easy fix. Just make the portal open on the Tuesday after the final game. That seems realistic to me and reasonable.
I agree with Billis, but the idea of, I do think it's a little bit of a straw man. It wasn't a couple years ago, but like now, I don't think you hear nearly as much about transfers and stuff and loyalty issues. People recognize like, yeah, the NCAA's got a broken system and now you just got to deal with it.
Yeah.
I don't think people hold most of these students accountable anymore for like, ooh, you don't show any loyalty. You're going over here. Nobody really blames them for that. So comparing it to that, I don't know that there's a double standard. I think most people just say, yeah, the players should be able to go.
You've got to find, you're going to be hard for you to believe that Buzz Williams is going to leave A&M to go to a place that already has been told by the previous coach they have money problems. A&M has no money problems. There's not a single bit of money problems there. Buzz is a Texas guy. The only thing I would worry about is his MO is 5 years, new school. 5 years, new school. Right? He's done that at Virginia Tech, Marquette. That's what he does. So it's been five. It's been 6 years now for him, I think. Maybe five. So that would kind of scare me if I'm A&M. Moser is different at OU. I don't know what OU's NIL deal is like for basketball. Football, it's great. You know, basketball, what is it? You know, and he doesn't have a connection to Oklahoma either. He's a Chicago guy. You know, that's why, you know, he's at Loyola Chicago forever. So I don't know.
Atolo texted us and said, my buddy at A&M said they're going to go hard after Chris Beard to stick it to UT for the Schlossnagel hire.
That wouldn't surprise me.
A little conspiracy theory.
If Chris Beard is at Ole Miss and, you know, they're already talking in some of these other places. If Buzz leaves, would you go? If Rick Barnes retires, you're going to go for him. He's the guy because they're. What did we not have in this tournament? We didn't have upsets, right? So there's no hot shot coach that everyone is sitting there going for. The one guy is Sean Miller, and he already got scooped up by Texas.
Yeah, I mean, A&M, if they're going to hire Chris Beard, they got to make sure he doesn't have any active warrants in the state of Texas before they bring him back.
College basketball kegger here on DFW Sports Station with a little surprise during crosstalk with a KNC masterpiece next.
Fitz peering through the glove. brings the glove down and comes home with the 0-2 pitch, and that ball is rocketed deep out into left center. Duran stops to look, and it is gone. Way out of here, up into the second deck. A booming home run for Adolis Garcia to give the Rangers a 3-2 lead.
Crosstalk with a KNC masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan with a surprise. And Zach Wolchuk in for Kevin Hagman. Good morning, Corey Majors. What's coming up?
Rangers got to work this weekend. Adolis is back, just as I predicted. So we'll do that at 10 o'clock. And then we'll get into some Stars and Mavs at 10:20.
Predict an Adolis bounce back?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I said plus 40. He said 50. I was like, oh, thanks, Adolis. Appreciate that. So I said plus 40 bombs, and he's on his way to it right now.
So, but you said it to him?
Mm-hmm, to
his face. Well, that doesn't count as a real prediction of a bounce back, because you were just you were talking to him, and you felt the need to tell him that he was going to bounce back.
Yeah, you're butt cracking us on this one, dude.
Yeah.
What?
I'm sorry, what?
What are you looking at?
Bruce Bochy tomorrow at 12:30 instead of Wednesday. So we'll have Bruce Bochy tomorrow, because Wednesday, Sean, the Rangers game starts at 11:40 in the morning, which means... I think we have a 1 hour show.
Oh my gosh. That's nice. That's
tomorrow.
Sweet. Very nice.
Our Wednesday. Woo. So
very nice. If Kevin really cared about his job, he would have missed Wednesday.
Whoa.
That would be the day to do it.
Yes.
That would be the day. What's happening here?
Yeah. You can, say
can I just sit in with them for the fun for that 10 to 11 hour?
Yeah.
No.
And that'll be my 5:30 segment.
Absolutely.
I'll be doing double the work.
That'll be my 5:30.
I will be doing double the work. No. I'll be doing a full hour.
A whole hour.
And then the gym will be more crowded. My whole day will be thrown off.
You'll be doing way less talking with them than you would by yourself.
Mike went 4 years without saying more than like 30 words a show. Yeah. So, yeah, you'd be fine.
Are you all baseball giddy already, Will Chuck?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, obviously, look, opening day, the way that one ended was a bummer. But to take 3 or 4 against the Red Sox, what I think could be an ALCS preview, DeGrom looked great. I do want to see this offense, the entire lineup outside of Jonah Heim and Adolis Garcia. It was nice Wyatt, they went back-to-back. But I was expecting Berger, Peterson, maybe they would have more of an imprint on this opening series. But all in all, I mean, Luke Jackson's definitely giving us Aroldis Chapman vibes.
Jared's listening.
We're on the edge of our seat. But, man, what the bullpen did the other night, 7 1/3, was incredible. So I'm pumped. And to see Jack Leiter go out there and have a good start was super awesome. Encouraging as well.
Was there some worry out there and surprise about Rocker with the way things are going?
The first outing he had, he got rocked. Like he got beat up a little bit while we were there. And then he as things went along, he got better throughout spring training. So that was the thing we saw was, I think even Bochy said this, Leiter showed up to spring training ready. Rocker built from the moment he got to spring training. So it was more like you anticipated that. And he was trying a new different type of curveball in the first game. Mike was pointing that out, that he was doing something a little bit different there that he was working on. So, but as things built up, he got better. So I'm excited to see what he's got going on tonight. But Leiter was like, I have something to prove this year.
How close did your brother-in-law come to punching Bobby in the face Saturday while the Red Raiders were melting down?
I think it was more like internal frustration and anger. I don't think that we ever saw him actually want to get violent, but he definitely was triggered. And the fact that I also joined in and started doing the gator chomp, I think that really ticked him off. But he was emotional as hell. I felt really, really bad for
him.
He's
a diehard.
Yeah, he is. He is. I mean, he writes for Red Raider Sports. He helps out with recruiting. But they had a hell of a run. And I think Texas Tech's going to be around, man. They've got this thing figured out. They were big winners in the transfer portal in football.
McCaslin's awesome.
And McCaslin's
a great coach.
Absolutely incredible. So Texas Tech's not going anywhere.
I'm not kidding. I genuinely thought for a second he was going to cry.
Yeah. No, like I did too.
He was that upset.
He might have. He might have gone home and cried.
He was talking about missing a rehearsal dinner for like some like his wife's brother or something for a wedding, because, well, I'll have to go to the Final Four. And then he was just like,
What do you guys think about a Sunday wedding?
No.
I've been to one. I've seen them. You know, it's a financial thing.
Yeah.
Largely, it's a financial thing.
It's cheaper to rent the venue out
Sunday. Yeah, nobody, I mean,
well, this
most
makes
people don't
sense.
Wanna,
it's so. Like telling
Jewish family.
Yeah, wow.
The Sunday wedding.
See, if anyone else said that, you'd.
That's why I say it.
Yeah.
Because I know you're all thinking it. Yeah. I'll take the bullets. I can get
now
away from it.
Now
I'm never token Jew, baby.
Now is the Monday.
Never think it.
Memorial Day. If the Monday's a holiday.
Yeah, okay, then yes.
Oh, yeah.
But otherwise, it's like a Sunday, and I do think it's an open bar deal. but I'm not going to be going crazy.
Never mind.
We don't spare any expense when it comes to the alcohol. Okay? No. All right? We know how to party, baby.
But if
we can do a Thursday or a Wednesday.
Why are you asking about it? Your brother-in-law had a Sunday wedding?
No. So we've got a wedding we got to go to on Sunday. So my brother-in-law's brother-in-law is getting married. So we were talking about
your brother-in-law's.
Seems like he's talking about himself.
No.
Maya's brother's brother-in-law is getting married. Gotcha. So we've got a wedding we've got to go to on Sunday. Now, if Tech was in the Final Four, I was definitely going to try and convince him to bail on this wedding and we just go to the Final Four.
Mm.
Ooh, I thought that would have been fun.
When it got really quiet and he was sad, that was what I told him. I was like, on the bright side, you don't miss the wedding now. You can go to that. And he didn't think that was funny at all.
No, he didn't.
So you're not going to the Ranger game with us?
No, I won't be able to do that, unfortunately.
Sad.
I know. Bummed.
Are you going?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay.
You definitely would have liked to have come then.
Are you going?
Sign me up.
Bobby?
Yeah, I'm going. Okay. I filled it out. I'm going.
Okay, that's good. And Corey, are you going?
I've not filled out the form yet.
Well, I've not got deadlines today.
Confirmation from my wife if she wants to go or not. So maybe.
Zach, you were able to share notes with me about my trip to San Antonio. You're a big San Antonio fan?
I've been a few times, and I do think the food's excellent. So the one place, the first time I ever went was Cowboys training camp back in 2010, and my buddy was obsessed with Mi Tierra. So every time I go, like in honor of him, I always check out Mi Tierra. Yeah. And it's not like the greatest restaurant in the world, but it does have good vibes. Yeah. I like the whole pastry deal and the food's solid. I've never had a bad meal there.
Solid. And then, is it the Marketplace? It's like... not a lot of room to go, but a fun little area.
Yeah, it's cool.
Just like, you know, bands and music and drinking and stands all set up. But outside of that, I don't know how much there is in San Antonio.
There's not.
That was the first time you'd ever been to the city, period. Did you do...
No. He went to training
camp.
Okay,
did you do Alamo or anything this time, or have you in the past?
I did not.
No interest in it?
The Alamo might have been the most underwhelming... place I've ever visited.
It just pops up out of nowhere. There's a Fuddruckers next to it. Or there was. I don't think they're in business.
Maybe it's a Tony Roma's.
Maybe Tony
Roma's. I think San Antonio's the only place that still has a Tony Roma's.
Tony Roma's. Do they have Fazoli's or something too? Like, geez, that's old Tony Roma's.
But the weather difference. Like you guys said at the firehouse, it was freezing and cold.
It was rainy.
It was wet. It wasn't freezing, but it was just rain and wind. And yeah, that wasn't great. But no, San Antonio is always. I feel like San Antonio year round is 95 and dry.
Yeah.
Like no humidity, just dry heat.
Yeah. It's always warm.
And the humidity?
In the summertime, you know, during training camp, there were plenty of training camps where you go down by the river and it smells like a swamp.
Ooh.
Yeah, what do you think is more justified? Barkley on Galveston or Barkley on the Riverwalk?
What do you say about Galveston?
Oh, man.
Hey, dirty
see
water.
If you can find that. See if you can find the Barkley clip. Yeah.
Needles.
Dirty old water.
Barkley needles. On Galveston is legit.
Yeah. I think he's probably right about that.
Barkley on Galveston is more legit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That, like the whole, like
San Antonio's like,
he's doing a bit. There's some attractive women in San Antonio.
There are. And look, it's an easy city to get around.
Hold on. Sean looked like he had something to say.
I didn't see any. And I was out every night.
But you saw a bunch of whales, right?
Literally.
Cause SeaWorld, right?
Screw you.
Yeah. But like,
I'm not doing that.
The Menger Hotel Bar. I mean, that's the stiffest drink. They make the loon look like they're serving water.
What?
Oh man!
Wow!
It's insane.
Did we go there?
I don't think you and I went there. I'd been there with.
What was the jail we stayed at?
We should have jailed.
Yeah,
it was a.
That's what I knew. The company hotel policy where we were in for 15 years.
This was an old church that had been converted to a jail, where the windows were like 15 feet up on the ceiling with bars on them.
What?
And that's where the hotel was. The hotel had one row of rooms, just straight back.
Oh, man.
Did you find it, Pepe?
He said no.
Okay.
He said no.
It's not even Thursday yet.
Galveston has, it's been a long time since it's been nice, I feel like. I feel like that. Like there's,
okay.
I went down there, I remember like early 20s, I went down there, we stayed with a bunch of girls. And it was awesome.
But with a bunch of girls.
The cops ran that city, and we knew the cops, so that was good.
Galveston is not great. Galveston has reached a point of, like, so much smack it's talked about it that it's kind of become underrated a little.
All right. Let's hear Barkley on it.
Disappointing on us. Where they going, Chuck?
Galveston. That dirty ass water. We're not even gonna sit in the Cancun. We're gonna sit in the Galveston with that dirty ass water be washed up on the shore. You people think they're in the beach. Y'all can't. Y'all, we y'all gonna send y'all to Cancun. Y'all drive y'all and y'all quit. Drive your ass down to Galveston. Come on, man.
So they're not taking a little.
Come on, they didn't even try, man. No, we're not getting them no plane ticket to the beach. We send their ass to Galveston, Texas, right where that dirty water washed up on the beach. They can't even get in the water.
It's accurate.
It is. That is true.
Yeah, so it's accurate, but again, like it's not. It's become just like everybody dumps on it now, and so now it's like, well, it's not that literally. Bad, but yeah, literally. Yeah.
Padre is far superior.
Oh, Padre's great
to Galveston.
So good,
far superior.
I remember none of it.
Yeah, it's an easy way. It's an easy place to do that. Met some Tolos down there.
How are your brackets looking?
3 out of 4. Tech was the only one I didn't get. I did go with Tech in the final four, but otherwise, I mean, this was a great year for Chalk.
Yeah, what a brag by you.
Not
it's like Peyton bragging.
Yeah.
Peyton. Oh, I picked all the ones.
And twos.
We are currently tied in the CBS bracket.
In the station one?
Yeah. Really? We're both tied at 14th.
And where's the morning show?
7. Choppy's right behind us at 18. I don't know.
Who's 7?
I didn't fill one
you
out.
You are.
Oh.
And yeah. You are. Mine was just like I did the autofill.
I got all the one seats too, baby.
Oh, you did the autofill?
I did autofill, and then I made one adjustment. And so other than that, everything's autofill.
I cracked the top 250,000 on ESPN.
Just like how good is that?
Never been under the million.
What'd you say?
Auto drafting over here, like the fantasy league.
Heck yeah.
Did you auto draft fantasy?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's man. The fun in that?
Because
there's no fun.
The most fun is you're the auto draft. Literally all downhill.
Get the hell out of the league.
Yep. All right.
And
fine.
I'm going to take the league over this year. I've been trying to get out of this damn league for years.
He has been trying to get
every
out.
Year. I'm now, like, no, somebody else from my show do it.
We got to change the scoring. We can't have Carter Freeman, Roger Goodell doing
that
this
is
anymore.
True. That scoring.
We need a new
commissioner. Fix it.
Here's Barkley on San Antonio.
Oh boy, going to San Antonio. All about big old women in San Antonio. Wait, watchers. We got to go. Come on. We got to go down to San Antonio. All them big old women down there.
I think if I open up a food truck just for the San Antonio week, I can make a gold mine in a week. Them old big old women down
stop
there.
Stop it, man.
You don't eat all
what
the
would
food
you sell, boy?
Churros. So
did you go to Bill Miller's barbecue?
Oh, no, but I saw it everywhere.
It's everywhere, man.
And brought us family on that? No, Sonny Bryant.
That's Sonny Bryant.
Pinkertons I almost went to. I've heard of that. But Bill Miller, everywhere.
They're all over the place, yeah. Yeah. It's like Dickies, you know?
Oh, well, then that, yeah.
It's like, it's barbecue that's
You've
there.
Had it.
I'll tell you what, anything. I don't dislike any potential sponsors.
Exactly. The KNC Masterpiece featuring Zach Dickies. Wolchuk Dickies is next on 105.3 The Fan.